Yeah, sure, I'll pass it on to the... I'll make sure it gets to where it has to get to. Okay, what we're going to start now is a review of the Mishnah and begin the Sugya. Good? So the Mishnah has three parts to it. And in all three parts, the Mishnah deliberately, seemingly, omits ofos. The Mishnah speaks about basar on one side of the equation and dogim v'chagavim on the other side of the equation. Ofos, and for that matter chaya as well, is left unspoken, so to speak, between the lines. And basically the approach to understand the Mishnah is that when it says kol habasar, it means everything chutz, at the end of the line is chutz. And therefore, we assume that included under kol habasar is not only basar, but also chayavi of as well. The only exclusion is dogim and chagavim. And the Mishnah divides up into three parts. The first part of which is the Iser Bishul. So the Iser Bishul of Basar B'cholav applies to Basar Behema, Basar Chai, and Basar Of. And the only exception is Chagavim and Dagim. Number two, the Iser Halah, not to put Basar and Gvina in this case on the same Shulchan. And that will again apply to Basar and Basar Behema and Of and Chaya as well, with the exception of Dagim v'Chagavim. And finally, and here we move on to Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, the third piece of the Mishnah is about a person who takes a neder and he prohibits himself from basar. And that neder will include basar, of, and chaya, but exclude to the exclusion of Dagim v'Chagavim. So there's a very symmetrical pattern here in the Mishnah, in which the Mishnah creates or establishes an Iser with regard to Basar Behema, Chaya V'Of, to the exclusion of Dagim and Chagav. The Mishnah does not, as we said before, mention Chaya V'Of explicitly, but by implication, Chaya V'Of are included together with Basar Behema because of the language of Kol HaBasar, and also the language of Chutz Midagim V'Chagav. These three surim have to be analyzed. Number one, are they Doraisa or are they Drabbanan? We don't know. The Mishnah doesn't spell it out. Certainly if we're talking about Basar Behema together with Cholav, in a case of Bishul, that's a Beferish Pasuk, that's certainly Doraisa. But when it comes to Of, when it comes to Chaya, we're not sure if it's Doraisa or Drabbanan, and that's going to be the first line in the Sugya on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. If I were to ask you the following question, this is not a rhetorical question, which of the three, if you had to pinpoint one, or the three bavas, or the three parts of the Mishnah, is totally out of place in the Sechta Chulin, where would you point your finger?
Neder.
I mean, this Mishnah should have been in Masechta Nedarim. And the only answer I could come up with at this point is sort of a symmetrical answer, that the Mishnah felt that, you know, a lot of what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi did was give us mnemonic devices, you know, to help us remember things. And if we want to remember things about the status of Behema, Chaya, Of, Dagim v'Chagavim, we have three different dinim that join together these kinds of foods and three different isurim that apply in these cases. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi sort of put them together, and neder sort of snuck in through the back door. My goal for today, and again, it could be that I'm off, but I don't know. I'm going to try, is to see if we can inject nedarim into this picture in a more integral way. That what the Mishnah, what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wants to tell us about nedarim, has direct bearing on what it tells us about Basar B'Cholav. I don't know if I'll be able to do so, but I want, that's sort of my goal. That would put a smile on my face for today. Rashi on the Mishnah with regard to Noder Min HaBasar says something very important. I would ask you the following question before we see this Rashi, just by way of introduction. When a person takes a Neder, what does he have in mind when he takes a Neder? And I'm giving you two possibilities, A or B. And give me your intuitive response. Does he mean by his language what the normal person on the street would mean by the language, like the way it's spoken, the vernacular and the idiomatic phrases and nuances as we speak it, which is called Lashon B'nei Adam? Or does he mean to use the Lashon HaTorah? Is he such a great scholar, you know, that when he uses a word, he is bound by the definition of the word as the Torah would define that word? I'll give you an example. Let's say I use the word achila. Now we know that halachically, in the Torah's perspective, what constitutes an achila? Kezayis. So if I say b'shvua b'neder that I will eat this kikar, or I will not eat this kikar, what happens if I eat a chatzi zayis? It could be that in Lashon B'nei Adam, chatzi zayis is included, it constitutes an achila. But in Lashon HaTorah, maybe the Torah standards are such that achila must be a kezayis and not less than a kezayis. So it would be a fascinating discussion. I saw in some sefer he wants to say that usually we go basa Lashon B'nei Adam, but if we can't go basa Lashon B'nei Adam, then we go basa Lashon HaTorah. But I saw in another sefer that he says, no, we go basa Lashon HaTorah, and if we can't go basa Lashon HaTorah, then the fallback position is Lashon B'nei Adam. But what would have been your intuitive response? Lashon B'nei Adam. And that's, I think, what Rashi is telling us here. Kol anoder ein daito ela achar Lashon B'nei Adam. In other words, we have to do what I would call almost a sociological linguistic study and figure out what does the man on the street mean when he uses this phrase. And I want to add another point to Rashi, which Rashi doesn't spell out. If it depends upon Lashon B'nei Adam, then what other concept should we add into the equation? What other factors should play a role? You know the famous Gemara, where is it, in Nedarim, I think, about this man who comes from Bavel and he settles in Eretz Yisrael and he marries a woman in Eretz Yisrael and he tells her to bring to cook him two lentils, which in Bavel that means a small meal, you know, it's an event. So she brings him a plate with two lentils on it, you know. And then he says to her, because he gets angry, you know, two lentils, he says, bring me a whole pot full of lentils, which again is a phrase that's used in the Aramaic of Bavel to mean, give me a full meal. So she brings him potloads of lentils. Finally, he gets so angry to her, he says, bring me two candles. And then he says, and break them on the gate, on the bava. So she brings him two candles, and she thinks bava is the name of Vatana. One of the greats in Eretz Yisrael was Bava Ben Buta. She actually breaks two candles over the head of Bava Ben Buta. Anyway, it's a whole long sugya. But I'm saying, if Rashi is correct that Neder should be analyzed by Lashon B'nei Adam, what other factor do we have to add to the equation?
The cultural
context, which means hakol holech achra makom. It could be very possible that in one place, you know, they mean something. You know, in England, for example, they have totally different explanations of words. Understand? And in America, they have different. I come from New York. In Brooklyn, they mean one thing. In Queens, they mean something else. You know. He says the following: Lashon B'nei Adam shu korei shem hadavar kach. So if a person takes a neder min habasar, so what does the average man on the street in that particular location mean when he uses the word basar? Vashmina masnisin dechol min basar. In the broadest sense, you can add to basar, Adam koreu basar. Man will call everything basar. You know, if I ask you to go to the store for me and get me basar, it could mean chicken, it could even mean fish, perhaps. Chutz mi basar dogim v'chagof. No, fish is not included in basar. That's not what the B'nai Adam mean when they use the word basar. Okay. Now we go back to our original question. When the Mishnah tells us that kol ha-basar is also bibishul with cholav, is it talking about a doraisa or a drabana? That was our original question. So the Gemara says, ha'of asar midoraisa. The Mishnah is dealing with a doraisa, and the Mishnah includes oaf in basar. For that matter, the Mishnah includes chaya in basar. For some reason, the Gemara wants to focus our attention right now on oaf. Kiman. So who is the author of our Mishnah, or at least which shita in the Tanoim does our Mishnah reflect? Deloka Rabbi Akiva, it cannot be Rabbi Akiva. De'i, Rabbi Akiva, ha'oma, Rabbi Akiva says later on that chaya vi'ov eino min haTorah. Rabbi Akiva says that the word gedi includes all basar behema, but not to the exclusion of chaya vi'ov. And therefore the Gemara insists that our Mishnah is a shita other than Rabbi Akiva, meaning those who argue with Rabbi Akiva would accept that oaf is doraisa with chalav. We don't accept, I'm sorry, our Mishnah doesn't accept Rabbi Akiva, who would insist that chaya and oaf is only dirabanan and not doraisa. Correct? So far, so good. Now, the sheet of Rabbi Akiva is brought down, just to take a quick look at it, on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah tells us that this is the second Mishnah, you know, the two Mishnahs on the page. Rabbi Akiva Omer, it's about five lines up from the bottom, 6 lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chaya V'Yov, Eino Min HaTorah. And he in fact derives it from the fact that the Torah repeats itself thrice. This is a miut, and it's coming to exclude Chaya, Ov, and Behemoth Meir. Okay, fine. Now, one of the questions I want to raise with you as we go back to Daf Kuf Dalet is, how does the Gemara know that we're talking about an Iser Da'oraisa? So the Ritva, if we have a chance, we'll see it inside. The Ritva says that the Mishnah says Kol HaBasar. And Kol HaBasar, which includes within it not only Behema B'chayv Re'ov, would imply that it's one entity. It has the same status. It's what we call Shava B'Shava, or Miksha Achas. To the same extent that Behema, together with Cholav, is Doraisa, Oaf and Chaya is also Doraisa. That's how the Ritva learns it. I suspect that Tosus is not going to learn this way, because, and this is a Tosus that we did last week, Kolav Basar, back on the Mishnah Daf Kuf Gimel on the Beis, Tosus thinks that Kol Basar is coming to include even Chutz Laretz, even Basar Mukdashim, and what was the third one? Even Shalom Bifnei Abayis, you remember that? The Tosefta spells it out. The Mishnah only implies it by saying Kol HaBasar. The Mishnah didn't feel compelled to spell out all these Chidushim because we already have them in earlier Mishnayos in Chulin, if you remember our discussion about Gid Anasha and Shiluach HaKan and so forth and so on. They all apply Shalom B'Fnei Abayis, they all apply in Chutz Laretz, they all apply to Mukdashim, and therefore there's no need for our Mishnah to spell it out. The Mishnah, so it's sufficient from the Mishnah's perspective to hint at it by using the word Kol HaBasar, any kind of basar. And therefore Tosus is going to have to find another explanation as to why the Gemara assumes that Oaf in our Mishnah is Da'oraisa. And Tosus says, D'samich Asefa, that somehow the Mishnah must be talking about a Da'oraisa because of the Sefer. Now, it's tricky, because the word Sefer can mean one of two things when you have three parts to the Mishnah. But what he means by the Sefer is what we call the middle Bava, not the last Bava. The middle Bava says, Asur lahalos ima gvina al shulchan. You're forbidden for putting gvina together with kol habasar on the same table. Now, what does kol habasar mean? It includes even what? chayav yov, and you can't put it on the table. Why? Because we're afraid if you put it on the same table, you're going to start mixing it. No, but I don't understand. If oaf is only drabanan, why would the Mishnah formulate a gzera of halah al shulchan for the sake of oaf, which itself is only drabanan? What you really have here is a gzera l'gzera. You know, you're telling me, well, don't put it on the table. Why? Because in the worst case scenario, you might mix it together. Might cook it together, I'll grant you. But even if I cook it together in the worst case scenario, it's only drabanan. So to make a gzera atu a drabanan, I mean, there are exceptions to that rule, but the rule is aim goes from gzera l'gzera. Therefore, it would be more logical to assume that kol ha-basa, in the case of oaf and chaya, like basa be'ema, is doraisa. And then the Mishnah goes ahead and says that kol ha-basa is also ma'aloh and magvina. Because now that the iser of basa be'oaf is doraisa, right, basa oaf be'cholav is doraisa, now it makes sense for the rabbanan to make a gzera that you might come to cook chicken with milk. That's the way Tosus learns our Gemara. Fine. Ema Seifa. So the Gemara says, now you've established that our Mishnah is anybody but Rabbi Akiva, what are we going to do with the Seifa? The Seifa, let's see the Seifa. Anodir min abasar, mutar bibasar dogim v'chagavim, implying ha'ov asar. A man takes a neder that I will not eat basar, he's not allowed to eat oaf as well. Asar Rabbi Akiva. This can only reflect the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Di Omar, Rabbi Akiva says, and this is a Mishnah in Nedarim on Daf Nun Dal. The Mishnah says, "Kol mili de mimlach alei shliach bar mina hu." Okay, that's a very heavy line in the Gemara. You know, if you would translate this word for word, you would really have no clue what it means. So let's just translate it word for word, and then I'll tell you why this makes no sense. The line of the Gemara is the following: that anything which a shliach would ask meaning to require clarification about, bar mina who is included in that min, very in that species, in that category. So it's a very ambiguous phrase. So Rashi embellishes this. Rashi says, "Kol midi de mimlach alei shliach, kol davar she'eno nishma min astam, lo betoch haklal velo mutza min haklal." You have a language that's so general, unspecified, that I don't know if it's coming to exclude X or to include X. The language is ambiguous. So a person takes a neder on basa. What does he mean? Does he mean to include oaf or to exclude oaf? So Rashi's going to tell us that the shliach is going to ask about it. Who is the shliach? Who invited a shliach into the sugya? You're learning second parak kedushin. You're shliach the paravera, or shlichus minolan. Then you have a shliach. Where's shliach here? So Rashi says, "Tzorich hashliach lachzor ulefareish velishol," quote unquote, "rotza atobazeh." I sent a shliach to the grocery store. Right, to the section that, I don't want to call it the meat section, because then I might be excluding fish, you know. I don't know, maybe, I don't know if they put fish in the meat section. That's an interesting question. Well, today in many restaurants, if you order a salmon steak, they'll charge you almost the same amount as they will. My wife tells me sometimes she goes buy salmon in Oshirat or wherever it is, and she'll pay the same amount that she'll pay for a piece of meat. You know, fish has become almost a full meal unto itself. When I was a kid, if you went to a vegetarian restaurant, you would get fish, and then you would say, well, when are they bringing out the main course? You know, but today it's a little different. Fish became very, very significant. So the question is, when a person sends a shliach to bring back basar, and the shliach is on his cell phone because he's in Oshirat and he can't find any basar, but all he sees is fish or all he sees is oaf. So he calls up on the cell phone, it is his mishaleach who sent him on this task, and he says to him, look, should I buy or can I buy oaf? Can I buy dogim? Is this included in the shlichus? What was the purview of the shlichus? You didn't precisely tell me what you meant by basa. So Rashi says mimlech alei shliach, because minastam, unless I know otherwise, it's neither in the klal nor is it mutzam in a klal. Rashi says it's in that very gray twilight zone. We don't know whether it's included or excluded. Oh, so the Gemara says that here's where Rabbi Akiva comes to the fore, because there are two ways of responding, of analyzing this scenario. One way is to say, look, the very fact that the shliach had to get on the phone and ask for clarification, that means that it's really not basar. I mean, the shliach himself is doubting himself, he's not confident. It means he's confused, that really this doesn't mean basar. You know, I found a piece of chicken, but the man asked for meat. You know, in Yiddish we say flesh. You know, nobody would say flesh means a piece of oaf, you know.
But he's asking, so
it could be. Oh, the other way is to say the fact that he's asking. The fact that he's asking, and maybe he's even required to ask, because if he couldn't find basa, so what's he going to throw in the towel? He's going to come back empty-handed. Right, and the Gemara, by the way, in Masechta Yuma, just on the side, seems to indicate that a shlichus is also an ethical requirement. I don't know if it's relevant to our sugi, but on the side, it means where a shliach has to try to do his maximum to, once he accepts upon himself the job, to try to satisfy the mishalech. And that's why the Gemara establishes in Yuma that the Sarya Mishalech, which was sent out with Ishiti, it's not enough that he goes out on the task, you know, to send off the Sarya Mishalech over the Tzuk. He has to also come back to the Kohen Gadol, and he has to report to him Asisi Shlichusa. That's also part of the moral commitment. The Gemara, in fact, in the beginning of the third parak of Kedusha, I'm just reminded, says that if the shliach goes ahead and he marries the woman, instead of marrying her off to the mishalech, he marries off to himself, which is a famous subject in English literature, in American literature, is the Gemara says that he did an avla, that it's really not allowed. And maybe it comes on Dani Mahapik Pacharor, or whatever it is. So a shliach is meant, once he accepts the shliach, he's committed to fulfill the shliach. So, like you say, Yonatan, the very fact that he had to ask the mishalech, did you mean that if I can't find basa, chach, oaf is also included? That itself means that it does lend itself to the broader definition of basa. So again, there are two ways of looking at this. And that's what the Gemara is going to say now. This sanya we learned in the Braisa. Now what's the case in the Braisa? The Braisa is not talking explicitly about our case, where he was sent to buy basa, but hanodim in a yerek, so yerek usually means vegetables to the exclusion of, for example, legumes or grains. Those are different categories. Dluim, gourds and the like, are in that middle, you know, what shall we say, the twilight zone. We don't know clearly whether to define them as part of yerokos or out part of the yerokos. So the Tanakhama says that if he took a neder on yerokos, he means yerokos. He doesn't mean dluim. For Rabbi Kiva Oser, Rabbi Kiva says that the neder includes even dluim. Amru lo le Rabbi Akiva. So the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan, came back to Rabbi Kiva and they said to him, Valo omer adam l'shucho, kach lanu yerek. A man instructs his shliach to buy in the marketplace, buy us a yerek. Vehu Omer, and the shliach comes back and tells the mishaleach, Lo matzasi ela dluim. All I found was dluim. So the chachamim say the very fact that he comes back and he says, I only found dluim, means I didn't find yerek. Amar lehen, so Rabbi Akiva responds, Kein adar. Adarava, you've just proven my point. Klum Omer, would the shliach come back and say, Lo matzasi ela kidneys? My friend, my master, my mishalech, I only found legumes, you know, I found rice, should I bring you rice? The guy asked for you for vegetables, he didn't ask for rice. So it never even dawned upon him to ask about legumes. You know, it's like you send me to the store to buy meat, and I say, well, I found lollipops, you know, to give out to the children. That's ridiculous. Ella, but why does he ask the master, did you mean that I could buy dluim in an event that I can't find the classical yerek? Dluim bichlal yerek. V'ein kidneyos bichlal yerek. No matter how you stretch it, kidneyos are never included in the term yerek. you could fit in Tluim. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva maintains that the very fact that the Shliach is going to ask, could you be happy with Tluim, that means that Tluim are included on the Yer. And the Gemara now makes the analogy that the very fact that the Shliach who was sent to buy Basar, if he couldn't find Basar, he would at least notify the Mishalech, the Baal Bais, and say, look, I couldn't find meat, but I found chicken. Can I buy chicken and supply you with chicken? So Rabbi Akiva says that he would never ask, well, I only found fish, because fish clearly is not part of Basar, although, again, one could argue that fish logically is part of Basar. In our society, where it became such a main, you know, it could be a main course. You know, you go to the fish restaurant here, I'm not a commissioned, advertisement. You know this place, Shirat Hayam, you know, on top of the gas station. I think you pay now 120 shekel for fish. Okay, they bring out all the salads and everything else, I'm not saying. It would be nice if they hired a couple of Jews to work in that restaurant. But anyway, that's a different story. But fish became a mainstay. But Rabbi Akiva is saying the following. Rabbi Akiva is saying, the shliach is going to come back and ask, can I fulfill my shlichus through Oaf? Oaf is included on the basar. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, if a person takes an oath or a neder in which he asks on himself basar, included in that oath, in that neder, is Oaf. It's not limited to Basar Behema. Oaf is also Bechlal. So the Neder is Chal on Oaf. Right? Now the Chachamim say no. The very fact that Shliach was forced, he was compelled to ask the question, to raise the issue, means it really isn't Oaf. It really isn't Basar. It's only related to, but not included in Basar. Otherwise he wouldn't have had to ask the question. He just could have, you know, presented him with the fait accompli. You know, here's off. You ask for Basar, here's off. No. It's not Basar. Therefore, according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Akiva, a person takes a neder on Basar, he's mutar b'off. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva's asur b'off. Now we come back to our Mishnah, and our Mishnah says on the top line of Kuf Dalet, Hanodim in a Basar. What does it say? Mutar b'off. Basar, dogim v'chagavim, not be'of, implying, like the other two parts of our Mishnah, that the concept of basar includes even of, that would reflect the shita of Rabbi Akiva. So now we see that the Gemara summarizes its problem in the next four words. And the Gemara says, Reisha Rabbanon v'seifa Rabbi Akiva. I put a question mark at the end here. And the Gemara now is going to present two answers to this question. Let's just present a dilemma. How could it be that the Reish of our Mishnah maintains against Rabbi Akiva that Oaf in Cholav is Doraisa, which Rabbi Akiva holds that Oaf in Cholav is only Drabanan, and yet the Mishnah maintains in the Sefer that the Halach is like Rabbi Akiva, as far as a person who took the Nedim in a Basar, he's also be Oaf. Can you play the game on two ends? You know, are you with Rabbi Akiva or are you rejecting Rabbi Akiva? In the ratio you seem to be rejecting Rabbi Akiva and maintaining that Oaf Bechalav is Doraisa, the safer you're accepting Rabbi Akiva, that Oaf is considered part of his neder as far as a person who is Noder Min Abbas. Rabbi Osai, what would be your intuitive response to this question? I'm just curious if you would have, you know, the same knee-jerk reaction that I had when I saw this Gemara. You like the Gemara's kasha? Because if the Gemara asks, it's got to be a good kasha. But I don't understand the very methodology of this Gemara. It makes no sense to me, the underlying premise. Rebbe, when he authored the Mishnayos, he codifies the halacha. What's that called? When I know by reading Rebbe's Mishnah that's the halach, that's the final. No, but I'm saying, when, you know, there are many Mishnahs where I cannot do so. Our Mishnah is a class case where I can do so. Why in other Mishnahs I don't have the ability to do so? It's a machlokas, but our Mishnah is called what? Stam. We have a principle, halachic is Stam Mishnah. So the Mishnahs in other places of Shas, for example, the Mishnah towards the end of Perikol Basar records machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Chacham about the status of Oaf v'Cholav, or in Nidarim machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Akiva regarding the status of Anodim and Abasar. Rabbi Akiva decided for whatever reason, I mean, we have to know what, you know, what compelled him to draw this conclusion, that with regard to one machlokus, namely about the status of Of Becholov, we pass like the Chachom against Rabbi Akiva, and Of Becholov is Doraisa, and therefore he was so saying the Mishnah like the Chachom against Rabbi Akiva. With regard to the issue of Masechta Nedarim, about whether Neder on Basar includes Of, he, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, paskind like the Chachamim, and that's what's codified in our Mishnah as the Stam Mishnah. If the Gemara saw some sort of internal logical contradiction between the two, meaning if it was the Chachamim l'shitasam, they were being consistent on one single issue. If it was Rabbi Akiva who was being consistent, and he argues in both cases because of his principle, his underlying, you know, he's completely dedicated to a certain principle. If there's a logical interdependence, it's Haba Hatalia, then I understand the Gemara's Kasha. Rebbe is being inconsistent. But these are two different issues. One is an issue in Hilchas Lo Savashel Gdiva Chalevim Avaseis Gdi, and the other is an issue, not Machos Asuros, but Hilchas Bnei Adam, in Lashon Bnei Adam. What do people have in mind when they take a neder? You know, they took a neder on a Yerek. Are Deluim included in Yerek? First took a neder on Basar. Did he have in mind even Basar Of? How do we look at Nedarim? Should we look at Nedarim, the Lashon Bnei Adam? We saw the Rashi on the top of that page. That Lashon is that the determining factor in Nedarim is Lashon Bnei Adam. What is Lashon Bnei Adam in the case of something that's Nichnas El Klal, but Yatzam in a Klal? You know, it was never in the Klal, it was never out of the Klal, it's somewhere in the gray area. Rabbi Akiva decides to expand Lashon Bnei Adam to include whatever possibly could fit in. You know, they would never, the Shliach would never ask about kidneys. You know, he would never ask about lollipops, you know, about dogim or chagavim. So, but if the Shliach has to ask, is Rabbi Akiva saying? Rabbi Akiva argues that you see that it lends itself, you know, in the broader sense, the word in Lashon Bnei Adam could include a broader context. Chachamim say, why should I assume so? The very fact that Shliach came back and he felt compelled to ask, mean it really wasn't stama demilz. It really wasn't the simple interpretation of what the person meant when he sent him on the shlichus. But in any event, it's quite clear that Lashon Bnei Adam, as far as Hilchos Nedarim, is a fascinating issue unto itself. And frankly speaking, I could, you know, I'm sort of equivocal. I could hear the svara of the Chachamim. I could hear the svara of Rabbi Akiva. My intuition is my sense is I identify more with Chachamim here, because I don't see why we have to be machmir in the neder and assume the worst case that he had in mind everything. You know, yeah. Somehow Rabbi Akiva is operating with almost like a suffik nedarim l'chumer l'hachmir kind of svar. I don't know what it is, but be that as it may, whatever Rabbi Akiva thinks, it's halach and hilchus b'lashon bnei adam. I wouldn't be surprised, for example, if Rabbi Akiva's point would be relevant in hilchus mekach u'memkar. Let's say I wrote you a shtar, or I agreed to deliver basar. Would Of fulfill my monetary commitment to bring it to you? It could have implications in Kol Torah Kula. What does a person mean when he says something? His Lashon Bnei Adam is very unclear. What does that have to do with an Isur Doraisa of Basar B'Cholav? And we want to know whether Basar includes Of or not. What did the Torah mean? So Rabbi Akiva came up with a mute. It says Lo Savashel Gdi three times. The Torah's hacking you that it's only Gdi, which means Behema. Torah repeats itself to exclude Chaya. The Torah repeats itself to exclude Of. Good, that's Rabbi Akiva. You accept his drasha, you don't accept his drasha. But what's got to do with Lashon Bnei Adam and Hilchos Nedarim? And I think that's what Rav Yosef is saying. Again, I'm going to try to, but I have such vested interest here that I'm going to try to push this into Rav Yosef. Omer Rav Yosef, Rebbe he. The author of that Mishnah is neither Rabbi Akiva, nor the Plukta, the Bar Plukta Rabbi Akiva. That anonymous Tana or group of Tanoim that reject Rabbi Akiva, but Nasiv Le Aliba de Tanoi, he establishes his Mishnah by entering into this Tanoim, you know, this Machlokas Tanoim. Bnedarim Savra La Ki Rabbi Akiva. He accepted the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi, for whatever reason, thought that Rabbi Akiva's opinion in the Dara makes a lot of sense. It's very attractive. And he passed like Rabbi Akiva. But Basa B'chala, Savala K'Rabbanan. He passed like Rabbanan. I'm always tempted to think that maybe Rebbe wants to go L'chumra in both cases. I don't know. That would be, I'm putting myself out on a limb. But in the Machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, with regard to Basa B'chala, Rabbi Akiva is the Mekil. With regard to Nedarim, he's the Machmir. So why not establish the Halacha again? But there are so many rules and regulations that go into deciding how the Halacha operates. If you'll ever get a chance to read an article in the Encyclopedia Talmudic called Halacha, I think it's about 40 pages long, with all the rules and regulations about how to determine Halacha. You could spend a month. So, for example, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva michavero v'lo mirachaverov. But if there's a stam mishnah, it depends. Is it stam mishnah before the machlokas? Is it machlokas v'yachankach stam? And very often we don't even know which mishnah was written first, because especially when they're in different mesechtas, you don't know where Rebbe is codifying the halacha. So I say it's enormously complicated to figure out in a case of Rabbi Akiva, because most mishnayos really reflect the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Stam Mishnah Aliva to Rabbi Akiva. But again, that's only because Rabbi Akiva didn't have an opponent, a dissenting view. When there was a machlokas, then we don't say that the Mishnah was written according to Rabbi Akiva, unless the Stam Mishnah reflects Rabbi Akiva's Shita. But we're not committed to assume that every time Rabbi writes a Mishnah, it's got to be perfectly acceptable according to Rabbi Akiva. In any event, what I see here in Rav Yosef is an agenda, almost a methodological premise, that there's no reason to commit Rabbi Akiva to accept the same shita over and over again when that shita has different arguments or different issues that are independent one of the other. And the issue of how to define Basa V'Cholop, the issue of how to define Lashon B'nei Odom and Dharma, two independent issues. There's no logical connection to the two. That's Rav Yosef. Let's read the Rashi's. Rashi says, Minahu. Rashi says, Choshev linya nedar me oso amin kagon hacha shaha omer l'shlucho k'neilonu basar min ashuk eino nishmalo min astam basar of. He doesn't know whether or not basar of should be included. He can't just bring back of. He's got to clarify this. Hu nimlach bebalabayis v'sholo. Would you be happy? Would you accept Basar Of? I can't get you Basar Behema. Is Minahu, says Rabbi Akiva, the very fact that the Shliach thinks, he's an intelligent person, that Basar could include even Of, is Minahu, Min Basarhu, that Of is also under the category of Basar. Shrei Amalo Kneli Basar. In Lohaya Of Min Basar. The logic of Rabbi Akiva is that if Of is not Basar, Lohaya Nimla. I mean, would he ask him about Dogim? Presumably he would never ask him about Dogim. And therefore, Lomitzasi El Deluin, he says, if all he found is Deluim, Eino Locha Miyad, the Chachamim would argue, wait a minute, he's not going to buy Deluim. Almo Lo Kari Luhu in Shi Yerek. When a person says Yerek, he doesn't mean Deluim. Da Hare Yerek Stam Kamala. He didn't clarify that Yerek means even Deluim. The I Bechlal Yerek Hu Lo Hayitzarach Limach. That's the Chacham. But Rabbi Akiva says, Amalehem kein adavar. Adarabi says, Misham ani mevi rayashu min yerek. Because if it wasn't a min yerek, for example, that kidneys, ilo matz al kidneys, loya meshiva lo matzasi al kidneys, he would have said to him, lo matzasi yerek. I mean, you sent me on a shlichus, but there's no yerek in the market. Or maybe all the yerekis are shvius or something. I don't know what. Ubi Dluim, in conscious, in the case of Dluim, Omer, he says to him, Loma Tzasi Yerek Ela Dluim. Loma Omer came. What was he? You know, what is he, crazy? I mean, he's going to ask him, I found lollipops? Ela Sheyeshcha Lilmo Tzad Dluim Nikroim Yerek. That in the broader context, you can expand the definition of Yerek to include even Dluim, V'yein Kidneys Bechlal Yerek, but you would never accept the possibility that Kidneys is called a Yerek. Oh, says Rav Yosef, Savalok Rabbi Akiva. He accepts Rabbi Akiva Which means what? The afgav litzachlim luchei lo shakil minehu lo shakil minehu. Right? Even though he has to ask the question, and he can't ask it without asking the question, nevertheless, minahu dilav minu lo havi omer eshkol mehai. He never would have entertained the possibility of buying from that. Fine. That's Hakofa Aleph. That's Rav Yosef. Then we get to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi Omar Kula Rabbi Akiva. Rav Ashi seems to take us back to the svar of the Makshon, that it can't be that the Mishnah reflects in one case, in Bas Mechal, the Shita that opposes Rabbi Akiva, and in another case, then in the case of Neder, it accepts the Shita Rabbi Akiva. There's got to be a consistency. Kula Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah reflects the Shita Rabbi Akiva from beginning to end. V'hachi kamar. Kol ha-basar basar levasha v'cholav. It's true that any category of meat, including oaf, is forbidden in bishul b'cholav. You cannot cook it in cholav. Mehen mi divrei Torah, mehen mi divrei sofrim. The word kol basa just tells you that they're all included in the same din, in the same isur bishul, but it doesn't mean on the same level. In the case of basa behema, we're talking about an isur d'oraisa. In the case of oaf, we're talking about an isur d'rabbanan. So the very premise that you began with, namely that oaf is also midaraisa, according to our Mishnah, is not so. And Rav Ashi rejects that. And the din of oaf is fundamentally different than the din of behema, whereas the former is the rabbanan and the latter is d'oraisa. And that's what it means, yesh mi divrei Torah, v'yesh mi divrei sofrim. Chutz mi basa dog v'chagom she'enem lo mi divrei Torah v'lo mi divrei sofrim. Memela, the ratio of our Mishnah in defining Basar B'cholav reflects the Shita Rabbi Akiva. Basar O B'cholav is only the Rabbana. And the Sefer of Hanod Ben Abasar is certainly Rabbi Akiva. That's fine. So again, what we come down to here is a machlokus between Rav Yosef and Rav Ashi, which impacts on the interpretation of our Mishnah, and therefore the halacha, perhaps, if we follow the Stam Mishnah, with regard to Basar Of B'cholav, Rav Yosef would maintain that Basar Of B'cholav is Da'oraisa, against Rabbi Akiva. He's not bothered by the fact that we accept Rabbi Akiva Nidarim in the Sefer of the Mishnah. Whereas Rav Ashi would maintain that Basar Of, according to our Stam Mishnah, is only Derabbanan like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore the Mishnah is consistent by accepting Rabbi Akiva both in the case of Noda Min HaBasar and in the case of defining Basar Of B'cholav. That's going to be the machlokas between Rav Yosef and Rav Ashi. But again, just on the side, as I said before, the methodological approach of Rav Ashi is a little bit perplexing to me. I don't understand why he feels so compelled to assume that the Mishnah has to consistently accept the Shita Rabbi Akiva when Rabbi Akiva's two statements have nothing in common with each other and they don't deal with the same issue. So here, Rabosai, what I'd like to deal with now is the Ma'arik. And I wasn't able to get access here to Bar Ilan, unfortunately, so I wrote it out by hand, word for word. So you might have it on your page. Okay, then, again, if you have the original, you know, we had two different versions. Mm-hmm. Yechiel, do me one favor. If you happen to see, I may have left my notebook in the photocopy machine, because I don't find that. But anyway, I don't need it. That's not... Okay. So Rabosai, let's present the issue of the Ma'arik. What bothers the Ma'arik? Okay, maybe we could close this door for a minute. I just want to present the kasha of the Ma'arik. The Rambam, when he codifies the halacha of noder min habasar, and this is in Perek Tes, Mehilchos Nedarim, halacha vav, he says something that seems, at the face of it, to contradict the sugya in Nidarim. The sugya in Nidarim, on Daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis, is quoted here in Tosfos. take a look for a moment at Tosfos on the top of Kuf Yudalid Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskil Hanoder. The Gemara there in Masechet Nedarim, based on a Braisa, comes to the conclusion that even Dagim is included in the Lashon Bnei Adam of Basar as far as Nedarim is concerned. I frek the Gemara, but our Mishnah says Hanodim in Abbasim Muta B'Dagim. So the Gemara gives a strange answer. You have to know the physics of it. The Gemara says that if a person goes through what's called Hakazas Dam, right? You know, bloodletting, which was done back in the day in order to relieve, you know, high blood pressure. So the Gemara says that on that day you don't eat fish. Yeah, I have no clue about the biology of it. If anybody knows anything, please tell me. But fish is not healthy for a person on the day of Hakazas Dam. Then the Gemara has another biological principle, that fish is not healthy for a person who has an eyeache. Cave eye. No. So now, the person who took this neder min abasar was in bad shape. He had a ke'ev ayin, or alternatively, it was the day of his hakaza, and therefore he wasn't going to eat fish on that day for health reasons. The Gemara says, therefore, he was not compelled in any way to take a neder that he wouldn't eat fish. I mean, you and I would have said just the opposite, that maybe, you know, if there's a health issue, you know, a person who smokes and he realizes, you know, the Surgeon General's report, it's very, very unhealthy to smoke, he dafka needs a neder, you know, to strengthen himself that he shouldn't be tempted to smoke. But the Gemara is working with the opposite premise. A person on the day of his hakaza would never even dream of eating fish. You know, if he's hungry for fish, he'll find a different day to eat fish. Therefore, when he took his neder, he did not have in mind fish. Oh. The implication of the sugya is that if it was another day of the year when he didn't have hakazas dam, or he didn't have any cave ayin, then when he took a neder min abasar, he would include dagim. Dagim would be included in that neder according to Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, if I sent you as my shliach to purchase basar, you would call me up and you would say, Rabbi Berzon, I can't find meat. I can't even find chicken. But what I found is fish. I found a beautiful salmon steak in the frozen food section. Cost 60 shekel, but it's a beautiful filleted salmon, right? A great cut. So Rabbi Akiva would assume, therefore, that when a person takes a neder, min abasar, included in that neder is dogim, with the one exception when it's a health problem. When he took this neder and he was in a situation where he couldn't tolerate fish, there was no need for him to include fish in his neder. So that's a raya that he didn't mean fish, and he excluded fish from basar. But lacking those very unusual circumstances, the word basar includes dogim as well. Basically, the upshot of the sugya is that there's an absolute equation between dogim and ofos. According to Rabbi Akiva in Dharma, a person takes a neder on basar, it includes not only basar behema, it includes ofos, and it includes dogim as well, barring the exception to the rule. Which means that Rabbi Akiva, applying the principle of mimlach shliach alei, that the shliach would ask and inquire, would you want chicken, would that be okay? Would you be happy with, or dogim? That means that lashon bnei adam basar includes even what? Even ofos vid dogim. But now we open up the Rambam. And the Rambam says something very strange. This is the Rambam Hilchos Nedarim, Perek Tes Halacha Vav. The Rambam seems to contradict the sugya. The Rambam says, "Kol davar shederach hashliach oso makom." He adds oso makom. That was our point from before. Lihi molech olav. He would ask, "Maybe I can get you this." Harehu bechlal hamin shenemar l'shliach. It's included in that min that the shliach was asked to purchase. Ketzad. Makom shedarkon im shaleach adam shliach liknos lo basar stam. He didn't specify what's included under basar. V'yomer lo matzasi ela dogim. I only found dogim. is therefore in such a place a person took a neder min abasar nes arba basar dagim. So the Rambam codifies not only Rabbi Akiva, but more than that, he codifies the whole logic of Rabbi Akiva and how it would apply in the case of dagim. What we have to do is figure out in that particular location when the shliach was sent to purchase basar, would he come back to the shliach and say, "I didn't find basar, but I found dagim"? And if the answer is yes, that's exactly what the shliach would do. It means that it's derech b'nei adam in that biyosav makom to consider dagim included under basar, and it's bechlal min of basar, and therefore the neder is chal on dagim. Fine. Notice the Rambam hasn't yet said a word about ofos, and that's the next line in the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Ubechal makom, any place on the face of the earth, hanoder min abasar asur bebesar ofos." The Rambam makes the following distinction. He says, if a person takes a neder min abasar, then by definition, anywhere in the world, I don't need to go through this litmus test with the shliach, he's also the ofos. Meaning that ofos is included under basar, and therefore the neder includes ofos. But if you want to know whether the neder includes the dagim or not, then you have to do a litmus test, as I call it. You got to ask what the shliach would do if he was sent to purchase basar, and lo and behold, he couldn't find neither basar behema nor basar ofos, and he found dagim. If in that particular location where the neder was taken, the shliach would go back to the mishalech and say to him, "Well, I found dagim, does that suit you fine?" Then the neder is chal even on dagim. If in that particular location it would never dawn, if it never crossed the mind of the shliach to ask about dagim, then dagim is not included in basar. That's what the Rambam says with regard to dagim. But with regard to ofos, unqualified, the Rambam says it doesn't matter where you are on the face of the earth, the neder includes basar ofos. And the question is how to square the Rambam with this sugya in Masechta Nedarim. The Masechta Nedarim sugya maintains that Rabbi Akiva applies the same yardstick to both basar of and dogim. Namely, is the shliach going to be nimlach or is he not going to be nimlach? The Rambam says, nay. As far as basar ofos is concerned, absolute, unqualified answer. Forget about the shliach, forget about nimlach. Ofos are included under the neder on basar. As far as dogim is concerned, then we're going to go into the whole investigation. What would be in that makom? What did the shliach do if he couldn't find this? Will he come back and ask about dogim? So I want to show you the Ma'arik. The Ma'arik has a very unique answer to this problem. And he says the following. The Rambam came to the conclusion that the halach is like Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi holds that we accept Rabbi Akiva and basar of is the Rabbanon. Our Mishnah at the beginning of Kol HaBasar reflects, according to Rav Ashi, the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. And when it says Kol HaBasar asu levashil becholov, it means ofos. But that Isur Bishul is only the Rabbanon because Rabbi Akiva means the Rabbanon. Is the Rabbi Akiva basar of asum and Rabbanon levashlo becholov? Avol dogim mutu levashel becholov afilu mirabonon. So watch this. On a doraisa level, Rabbi Akiva maintains that gedi means basar behema. The rabbanon were afraid that people would make mistakes and they will confuse oaf with behema, and therefore they asid oaf with the same identical isa that the Torah asid behema. That's what comes out according to Rav Ashi in Rabbi Akiva. But dogim have a different status. The Rabbanan didn't even bother creating an Iser Derabbanan of Dagim B'chalov and take your milk of fish and enjoy it. The Im, says the Ma'arik, if I would have established the following premise, that Dagim V'Ofos Shavim, that the same status applies to both Dagim V'Ofos, which means, if I sent you to buy basar, and you're my shliach, and in both cases, when the shliach has to ask himself, "I didn't find basar. What about ofos? What about dogim?" Shemeshneim ha shliach nishlach lahavi basar v'nimlach im lahaviam. In kein ma tam gozru al bishul of becholav lo gozru al bishul dogi becholav. If the rabbanan are trying to analyze where and when they should put this, you know, where should they put down the hatchet and say, well, ad kan, up until this point, we have to create an Easter Rabbanan because it's like Basar and they'll confuse this with Basar and that with Basar. So the Rabbanan should logically have answered that question with the same system of Lashon Bnei Adam. And just like Rabbi Akiva holds that in the Nedarim we have a system called Lashon Bnei Adam, and the litmus test is to ask whether the Shlich is Nimlach or not Nimlach, when the Rabbanan in their mind want to figure out, well, how will people treat Basar? In Cholav, will they mistakenly confuse Basar Of with Cholav and Basar Behemud and Dogim with Cholav with Basar and so forth and so on? Well, they should ask, what does a person understand by Basar? So the Rama had a problem. Because on the one hand, in Hilchos Basar V'Cholav, the Mishnah, and Rabbi, right, reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Kiva, the way of Hashem, distinguishes between Oaf on the one hand and Dogim on the other hand. Whereas Oaf is included in the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, Dogim was left out. And yet, with regard to Nedarim, with regard to a case of no Dimin HaBasa, we don't know whether Ophos and Dogim are included in Basa or not Lashon Bnei Adam. Here, Rabbi Akiva seems to equate the two. In the simple understanding of the Gemara Nedarim, in both cases, we have to see if the Shlich was Nimach or not. And it should depend on each makom. How do you reconcile that? How could you understand that the same Rabbi Akiva in Basa V'Cholav, with regard to the Darabonan level, differentiates fundamentally between Ophos and Dogim, and the same Rabbi Akiva in Nedarim, when he's asking what do we mean when we take a nether in Basar, equates Ophos and Dogim? There's an inconsistency here. Rabbi Akiva has to come to terms with the following question. Are Ophos and Dogim interchangeable with Basar, or are they not interchangeable with Basar?
But he's not. He doesn't equate that in the town. He says it's up to the Lashon Bnei Adam in the town that he's in. He's saying if right. They equated, then if they
right.
Have, but he's not saying that they have to equate
but it. No, I'm not saying that he has to equate it, but he's giving the same din in Nedarim for both Ophos and Dogim, according to the Gemara Nedarim. Meaning in both cases, we have to find out a Nimlach on that. Which means that Rabbi Kiva is open to the possibility, in both Basar and in Dogim, that Echinami, that's the broader interpretation of the word Basar. So if there are Makomos, wherever they are, we'll have to pinpoint them and X them out in a map of the globe of the world, where they are interchangeably including not only Ophos in Basar, but even Dogim in Basar. And that's why Rabbi Akiva equates Basar, Oph, and Dogim as far as Nimlach, to see whether or not the Nodim in Basar is also in both Dogim. If the same rules, the same yardstick, applies equally to both Ophos and Dogim, then when the Rabbanan had to sit down and decide, when they Aser Basar, Basar v'chol d'Rabbanan, meaning when it's not the real Makoy Behema, which is Rabbi Kiva Shita, that Gedi equals Behema, Basar Behema, and only Basar Behema. But now the Rabbanan is saying, but wait a minute, in the minds of people, they confuse, they extend, and they don't know the difference. Basar should include Ophos, should include Dogim as well. Then Rabbi Akiva should have consistently expanded the Gzeira d'Rabbanan beyond the restricted Ophos category to include Dogim as well. Because if you're telling me that Ophos are interchangeable, you know, in the minds of people, you know, Basar includes Ophos, and that's why you made the Gzeira D'Rabbanan to Asa Of B'chol, then in the minds of people, Rabbi Akiva maintains in the Masechta Nedarim, they even include Dogim in Basar. Haraya, in certain places, at least on the face of the earth, the same Shliach who will ask about Ophos, he's going to ask about Dogim. Just 1 second, Yechiel. What am I trying to say? Well, Bosai, I think what the Marik is doing here, and that's why I wanted to share this Marik with you, is to give us a whole new insight as to the relationship between the Reish of HaMishnah and the Seif of HaMishnah. When I mean the Seif, I mean the real Seif for the end of the Mishnah of Anodim and Abasa. It's not just symmetry. It's not just that Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wanted to give us a mnemonic, what's it called, a memory device, you know, to help the Talmidim remember all the dinim. No. Rebbe is revealing an integral connection, an essential connection here between two worlds that are interdependent. Why? Because in the world of Basa B'cholov, Rebbe, according to Rav Ashi, is not dealing with the Doraisa, Fakeret, he's coming to be Mechadish the Rabbanans. When the Rabbanans saw Basar Ov, and they wanted to extend the Isar Basa B'cholov Doraisa to Basar Ov, they were asking themselves a question about Bnei Adam. What is the Das Bnei Adam? That's what the Marik is learning. Again, you don't have to accept the Marik, but I'm saying, in the Marik's frame of reference, that's the way the Rabbanim went about deciding, well, what do people think? Do they make this confusion? Do they have an interchange between Ophos and Basar, between Dogim and Basar? Now Rabbi Akiva is very consistent. I'll finish in 1 minute. Then he says, Nodim and Abasar is Mutar B'Dogim, says the Rambam. That's a whole different halacha. When it comes to Ov, Rabbi Akiva extended it to Ov, because Ov is really Basar. And it doesn't matter where on the face of the earth you are. When it comes to Dogim, on the other hand, it becomes iffy, it becomes fleshy. Okay, Belinda, we'll try to clarify this. I'm just excited here because of the methodology of Rav Ashi. Now I understand the point of Arik, that Rav Ashi Lishitoso sees a direct, integral connection logically between the ratio.